This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam. In this series, as you all know, we are looking at what Allah and His Messenger, what the Quran and the Sunnah had to define for us as the best. The best in Muslim actions, Islamic principles, human beings, events from our day-to-day lives. In whatever sphere, Allah and His Messenger have spoken about what is best, leaving certain principles behind which would guide us in our day-to-day lives. What we'll be looking at in this episode is what is best in terms of the nights. What is the best night? I'm sure you all have an idea, but we have from Surah Al-Qadr, the 97th chapter, verse 3, Allah's statement, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The worship in the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, is better than 1,000 months of worship. This night is a special night which Allah has given additional value. We know good deeds are normally increased in their value by 10 times. And on other occasion, for other different good deeds, Allah can increase that as He wishes. It's not limited to 10, but at least it's worth 10 times its value. In the case of worship, in that night, in Ramadan, among the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the odd nights in particular, worship in that night is worth the worship of 1,000 months. That's more than the average lifetime. So what is being encouraged here is night worship, worshiping in the night. Because the night prayer, the voluntary night prayer known as tahajjud, is, after the obligatory prayers, the prayer with the greatest reward. That prayer which is done after we have slept, we wake up before the morning prayer, we get up and pray at that time, formal prayers, complete those prayers with what is known as witr, or the odd unit, one unit of prayer, or three, or five. That nighttime prayer, tahajjud, is the greatest prayer after the obligatory prayers. Why? Why is that night prayer so special? Because it is the prayer which is free from any aspects of showing off. It's just you getting up in the night. No one else knows. It's just between you and Allah. That makes our intention pure for prayer. Because it's not unusual that one, while praying during the daytime around others, etc., one is conscious that others are looking at them in worship. And it may affect our worship in one way or another. But that nighttime prayer, it's just you and God. There's no chance for feelings of pride and things like that to come in. There's no place for it. Nobody knows. Of course, after you finish praying in the morning, you tell everybody, well, listen, I prayed last night, and okay, yes, you can destroy the reward for that prayer. But The prayer by itself is the greatest prayer after the obligatory prayers. So, in the month of Ramadan, we are encouraged to pray that nighttime prayer throughout the month. It's done together. Commonly, it's called Taraweeh. But really, it is Tahajjud. That's what it is. Outside of Ramadan, it's just called Tahajjud. They call it in Ramadan, Taraweeh. But it's one and the same thing. So we are encouraged, especially in the last 10 nights, because people may be neglectful and leave the Taraweeh in the first 20 nights. At least in the last 10, we're encouraged now to make the effort to at least do the last 10 nights as Tahajjud in congregation. At home, outside of Ramadan, we may do it individually or do it in congregation. It's not an obligation to do it in congregation. But the point here is that when we do this night prayer in congregation, it is supposed to motivate us and encourage us to be able to do it outside of Ramadan. That's the idea, that outside of Ramadan for the rest of the year, we do engage in it from time to time at least, as much as we can. We should be praying some night prayers. Now, some people might say, well, actually, it's only the, you know, the last odd nights, because the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, has told us to seek it in the odd nights. You know, this is when it is likely to occur, the 21st, the 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. And there are some narrations which indicated that it was the 27th. It may have been the 27th on one occasion, but it was not the 27th on all occasions. Because we know that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said that Allah had told him when the night was. And he had wanted to convey that to the Ummah for us to know exactly when that night was so we could all catch it. But when he came from his house with the intention of going to inform it to people, he found some Muslims engaged in argumentation and Allah caused him to forget it. So we know from that very authentic narration that the exact night is unknown. How to figure out which night it is known only to Allah. And it's quite possible, that, as scholars have said, that the night may vary from year to year. It's one of the odd nights. And if we consider the fact that there are enough times when Ramadan has been miscalculated, we started one day earlier, we started one day late. And if we start one day earlier, one day late, then the 21st will become the 20th, or it will become the 22nd. It will not be an odd night anymore. So anytime we go into Ramadan, those dates that we have fixed can change. By the end of Ramadan, we'll find out that what we thought was the 27th was really the 26th or the 28th. So really, in the last 10, we should strive our utmost to do all of them. We should strive our utmost to pray all of those last 10, since we're not certain which one it may be, whether it is in fact the odd or it is actually an even number. So the best thing, the safest thing to do in Ramadan is to pray those last 10. Make sure you catch every last night. And that is encouragement because of the great reward for all of us to engage in it. But ultimately, it is encouragement to bring tahajjud back into our lives. That tahajjud be a part and parcel of our day-to-day lives. Bring it back in once a week, once a month, whatever. If we can bring it in and establish it, as we said before, quoting the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, wherein he said that the deeds most beloved to Allah are the ones which are done consistently, regularly, even if they are small. So at least try once a month or once a week to do tahajjud. And doing it with your family is a good thing. Gather your family together and do it all together. That's quite, we could say it's not only permissible, it's from the sunnah. Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, depending on which house he was in, of his wives, he would wake up the wives and the children to pray along with him in the night. Often, not necessarily every night. Some nights he would get up himself, they would wake up themselves and join him. Other nights, he would sleep. He didn't do it every single night. He prayed some nights, and some nights he slept. So we need to bring back tahajjud into our lives. And this is the encouragement for us to do so. And Ramadan is the time to reestablish it. With that, we're going to take now a brief break, and we'll be continuing to look at the best in Islam after the break. Welcome back from the break. And now we're going to look at another recommendation, but this time with regards to the life to come. We find a number of verses in the Quran in which Allah reminds us that that life to come in paradise is far better than this. For example, in Surah Furqan, verse 24, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying there, أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَيْرٌ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَأَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا. On that day, those destined for paradise will have the best abode and the nicest of places for rest. We also find in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 169, وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And the home of the hereafter is better for those who fear God. Can you not understand? These verses, and there are many others like them, remind us that everything that we consider wonderful, pleasing, pleasurable, that we strive for in this life, has an equivalent in the life to come, which is far greater, far better, which outshines anything in this life, in fact. So we need to keep that as our focus, our goal, the pleasure of the life to come, as opposed to the pleasures of this life. Of course, it's not easy, because the pleasures of this life we experience, and we become addicted to them, and we love them. Whereas the pleasures of the life to come are spoken about. They're written in the Quran. We hear them recited. But what they are, really, we have no idea. Because the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, has said that in paradise, the contents of paradise, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, nor has it ever crossed the mind of anyone. It is so different, so much greater. It is something unimaginable. So for us to be tied to that or focused on that, that which we have never perceived, is not easy. The best that we can do is to try to do the right thing with regards to what Allah has commanded us. That whatever He has commanded us will eventually give us that reward. So our focus should be on the pleasure of God. To try to do whatever we're doing in a way which is pleasing to Allah. If it is pleasing to Allah, then we will attain the best in the life to come. One thing that is sure is that we will not live forever. This life is going to come to an end. That we can be absolutely certain of. The issue is, where do we want to be when it comes to an end? If we want to be in a better state, then obviously there are things that we have to do in this life. And that's just common sense. We have to do the right thing. We have to avoid evil and command the good, strive for what is better, if we are to achieve what is in fact better in the life to come. So these verses are reminders for us as we get distracted and caught up in the day-to-day life and the day-to-day pleasures, worries, etc. Our minds become so entangled in the things of this life that we lose sight of the ultimate goal of this life. So these verses are reminders to us to keep focused. Focused on the goal of this life. Moving on after paradise, we looked at things concerning paradise. We're now going to look at something concerning parents. And we find a narration in Sahih al-Bukhari from Anas and Ibn Mas'ud, in which they quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّلَاةُ لِوَقْتِهَا وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The best of deeds are salah on time and kindness to parents. Salah on time and kindness to parents. Why is salah on time among the best of deeds, or in fact, the best of deeds? Because salah, in general, is a great good deed. The first deed which we are asked to do after having accepted Islam. Whether it is the day we wake up, having been Muslim all our lives, but not practicing really Islam. Finally, we wake up one day and say, hey, you know, I need to be a Muslim. What I've been doing up to this point is just ritual, tradition, keeping up with the requirements of my family, community, etc. Now I need to live this religion. I need to make it truly a part of my life. At that point, when we wake up, focus has to be on what is most obligatory. The foremost obligatory requirement. That is salah. That's number one. And that prayer 5 times a day, because it's not just prayer in general, so you do it on Fridays. So you become what they call a Friday Muslim. Or you do it in Ramadan, you're a Ramadan Muslim. It is a 5 times daily thing. What we do 5 times a day. We organize our day around prayer. But because Satan is busy trying to distract us from the prayer, giving us excuses. So many times people miss their prayers because of being caught up in the worldly life. So naturally, the best thing to do is when the prayer comes in, when the time starts, to pray immediately. If we put off the prayer for something, and we say, okay, after 10 minutes, I'm going to go and pray. Then 10 minutes comes, then something else comes up. Oh, there's something else I need to do. I'll do it after another 10 minutes. And something else, and something, until we end up missing the prayer. The only way to break that cycle is to catch the prayer right at the beginning, right at the time when it comes in. And that is the time when the adhan is given, then the iqama is given. The iqama, the time for the actual prayer, is given at the beginning of the time. It's not done towards the end. So this is the best time, because that is the time of the congregational prayer, especially for men, where they are supposed to pray together in the mosque, then this is the most critical for them, to try to pray at the beginning of the time. The greatest reward is there. After that, the Prophet mentioned birrul walidain, kindness, goodness to parents. This is a principle which is essential for the correct functioning of society. When the principle of being kind to parents, looking after parents, is lost, then the society begins to crumble. Where children will put their parents in old people's homes rather than deal with them. Their lives become busy. We don't have time for our parents anymore. These are the signs of a crumbling culture. Because those same parents looked after the children when the children were unable to look after themselves. It is only right that when they are unable to look after themselves, that their children now look after them. That is only right. That is only reasonable. When people break that cycle, so parents will look after the children, but the children don't look after the parents, then harm takes place. We see in surveys, investigations done in the various old people's homes in the West, and they found mountains of abuse. Because those people who are hired just to look after these old people, they have no connection. This is just a job. And that job can become very, you know, degrading or very difficult when you're dealing with people who can't take care of themselves. As dealing with a child is one thing. But now when you deal with an adult who now you have to take to the bathroom, you have to clean them up, they may, you know, pass urine on themselves, and you have to be cleaning up the beds, and, you know, day in, day out. Maybe you're okay for the first week, first month, but after a while, it wears you down. So you find that those people working in these homes, they become very upset quickly, you know, because the people may have done something which they didn't like. They end up hitting them, kicking them, pushing them, abusing them. Much of that takes place in the old people's homes. And that's what we resign our parents to. And that's evil. That is an evil situation where the parents don't receive the care and concern that they gave to their children when the children needed it. So, as we said, this is a sign of a crumbling culture. And in the Muslim world, it would be considered, you know, bad manners, bad behavior to do that to our parents. We look after our parents. With that, dear viewers, I'd like to thank you for being with us on this segment of our episode from the best in Islam. And we hope to see you in coming episodes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.